So the average American admits to using 5 different cleaning shortcuts, including using air fresheners and candles to like hide bad smells in their house.
Oh, I believe it. You know, sometimes I go a couple weeks without hanging any of my clothes. They all just pile up right in my closet.
You just shove them in there?
Not in the bottom, on the top. I have shelves like above where the stuff actually hangs.
Yeah.
And my wife is forever doing laundry, to be fair. It's not like there's one day of the week that she does it. She does it all the time. So I'll come in and there'll be 4 or 5 shirts, a couple pairs of pants on the bed. And if I'm not in the mood, if I don't have the energy, if I'm between things, Anna, I'll just shove that stuff right in the closet, right on the top shelf.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think I have cleaning shortcuts. I remember when I was young, I used to have to clean my room, my brother's room, and my sister's room before I was allowed to go out to the movies on Friday nights.
Oh, good old Italian-American household.
Absolutely. So what I would do is I would take the pledge and I would take the rag, and like instead of removing everything from like the dressers,
right,
I would just go around it.
Of course.
Yeah. But that was like my cleaning shortcut. But then my mom caught on.
Uh-huh.
And I remember she would go with her pointer finger and she would walk into my brother's room and she would lift one of the doilies from his dresser.
Doilies.
Yep. Because so many doilies. Why did we have so many doilies, first of all?
They really are dust collectors, as a matter of fact. Probably would have cut your dusting in half if you could just get rid of those.
Do people use doilies anymore? Because I have such a bad memory of them that I refuse to have them in my house. But I wonder, are doilies still a thing?
Seems like it'd be a fire hazard.
Anyway, she would take her pointer finger and she would lift the doily and then she would wipe and then she would look very closely at the dirt on her finger, and then she would take said finger and turn it around and put it in my face and say,
Cinderella?
Anna.
Oh, Anna. Oh, okay.
Anna, what's this, Anna? You see what this is, Anna? And I'd be like, Ma, I just want to go see Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Mm.
And then she would be like, not until you clean your brother's room.
Terrible movie choice.
And then I would have to remove all the religious artifacts from every room. To clean underneath them.
Right.
I'd have a whole bed. I'd have all
7 saints and
Jesus,
a doily.
Hail Marys. I have all the Marys lined up on the bed so I could clean underneath.
Oh, man.
And then put them back exactly like she wanted them.
I had a bed when I was younger and I could shove things under the bed. Physically now, I'm on like a platform bed. It has drawers and stuff underneath it. So can't do that in my bedroom. Plus, my wife would never let me get away with that anyways.
Yeah. People have 5 shortcuts. Man, I was afraid to use one. Raven, I think this has to be like a straight vote because people are so torn, and I find it so ironic that they call it a 50-50 raffle and people are so on either side of the fence about what you're supposed to do.
Explain to me where people are torn. Did you put this on social or something?
Yeah.
Or you talk to your friends? What happened?
So I put it on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven because it's an argument that my husband and I have very often. You go to any kind of event and there's always that 50-50 raffle. If for whatever reason you're not familiar with a 50-50 raffle, you buy these raffle tickets, right? So it's like, you know, like a church gathering or whatever it is.
Any sort of fundraiser.
Yeah.
It could be anything. A bachelorette party could be anything, literally.
Okay. And then half the money goes to you if you win and half the money goes to the organization that put the raffle together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my husband and I have had this argument before because one time we were at, he was at the father-daughter dance and he bought the 50-50 raffle from my daughter's school and he won and he didn't give the money back because you're supposed to donate the money back to the organization.
It's not a stated rule. That is what you believe.
Yes.
Morally, you're supposed to do. You believe for appearance's sake, that is the reason that you're supposed to donate the money.
And yes, absolutely, 100%. And I think that that was common knowledge that people know that if it's for a good cause, for whatever it is, then if you win, you'd say, no, you keep it. And then everybody claps and you're the hero.
Yeah.
You're the hero.
Yeah, you're the hero. They carry you out like Rudy.
Yeah.
Like a player on the field. Right.
So this past Friday night, I was at a theater show with my friend Lisa Lampanelli, the comedian.
Oh, excuse me. Let me get this shovel for this name that you just dropped over here.
Excuse me.
A
very good friend of mine. I'm lucky to have her.
Let me get you another shovel for that. Right.
Anyway, so we buy the 50-50 raffle and Lisa grabs my shoulder and she goes, you know the rule, right? I go, yeah, I know the rule. She goes, if we win, you got to give the money back. I go, oh, I know, Lisa. Like, I know. So then but then you start getting nervous because you're like, oh, please don't let me win because I don't want this to be like a thing, you know.
You don't want to actually have to choose.
Well,
you don't want to morally have to think about it later. You'd be like, man, it would have been nice to keep that cash.
Well, I'm ready to be the hero.
Yeah.
To be like, keep the $100.
Leap out of your seat.
Yeah.
And then people clap for you.
But since I win nothing ever.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I don't win. And the winner goes up. She's flouncing along.
She's excited. Happy. She won. Don't be hating on her because she won.
She takes the envelope. She waves it in the air.
Yep.
And then she returns to her seat with
good
the envelope
for her.
In hand.
Good for her. I mean, she won. She probably never wins anything either. And by the way, she's not pseudo-famous like you and your famous friend,
fake
Lisa
famous.
Lampanelli. So,
fake.
So you don't have to, you know, keep up appearances or whatever. I mean, come on. She bought the ticket with the rules stated.
If you won a 50-50 raffle, Raven, you would not donate the money back?
It really depends on what the circumstances are. It does. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of things that I need. But I've been in situations where you need something and you're already there donating. You're already there spending your money at the event. And sometimes, a lot of times, people there, they can't really even afford to do that. But they're doing it because they want to try and do something good.
Mm-hmm.
So if they win the raffle, you know, the part that I don't like is just people... The implication that you have to do that, even though it's not the stated rules and it's not the selling point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? Because I'm looking over our Facebook page and we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But I can't believe how torn people are. And it's passionate one way or the other. John wrote on our Facebook page, depends on the amount. Anything $100, yes. After that, you keep it.
John's like, that's a bill. I could pay an actual bill with my 50-50 raffle winnings.
So you enter a 50-50 raffle at whatever organization. You win. Do you donate the winnings back or do you put it in your pocket because you won?
1-800-330-9999.
Unfortunately, yes. And it always, I have won a 50-50 before and then like everyone was just staring at me and I was like, all right, donate my half back. It felt bad.
To me, it seems so sad. Like if they actually, you know, if I'm lucky enough for them to pull my number out of a bucket or something like that, I say to myself, why did the bucket ever have a bottom? If I was just going to let them keep all the money, I should have just thrown my money into a hole, not an actual bucket.
It's a trap for sure.
And Raven, if you win a 50-50 raffle, do you have to give back any of the cash?
No way. It's one of those situations. It's 50-50. They already got their half. I can have the half for me. You know, if they wanted it all for themselves, they would have called it a donation bid.
Now, if you're at the bar after you've kept the money at the same place where you've won the 50-50 raffle, are you buying anybody else a drink or no?
That's a mistake. You leave the bar as soon as you win. You tuck and run.
No remorse, no guilt. Goodbye.
Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. If you are part of a 50-50 raffle for a charity and you win, do you have to donate your money back to the charity? What do you think?
I don't think so. That's the whole point of the prize. Like, don't you have 50% goes to the charity and 50% is supposed to come to me? Isn't that the whole point of the game?
I'm with you. If I don't have a room full of crying children centered around me, I'm walking right out the place with the money. Right out the place. And I'm not even talking about photos of children. I'm talking about actual children clamoring onto my legs, being like, we need your money.
Right.
We need it.
No.
If that's going on, they can have the money back. If not,
you know,
forget it.
You know it might get me? Because the animal commercials kill me.
Like, oh, no,
no.
Oh, but if it's the animals, you'll donate the money back to Raven, but not the children?
I can't talk about it.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I wouldn't even be
you?
In that raffle. I'm just leaving with the animals anyways.
No, I think when you buy the 50-50 raffle tickets, you have to think of it more as a donation and not buying a game. That's
well, then why do they call
about.
It a raffle?
Because that's how they sucker you in.
What? Yeah. So it's okay for them to lie to me,
yes.
But if I tell you the truth, I'm an evil person, that's not right.
No, it is right. That's how it works. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think about the 50-50 raffle? Do you have to donate that money back if it's a charity?
Yeah. Why not?
Because I just won, man. But, I mean, I want that money. It's my money. They called my number. How often does anybody win anything? I never win anything. If I actually win something, I want to leave with the thing that I won.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. If you win a 50-50 raffle that's for a charity, do you feel that you have to give back your winnings?
No, never. No, half of that, the whole setup is that you know, the charity gets half and you get half. So if you're fortunate enough to win and the charity's fortunate enough to make half their money, then you walk with your money and everyone's happy. That's the deal.
Walk and never look back. Go right to the door, sir. Walk and never look back.
I feel like you shun that person. Yep. I think the person that just takes their money and doesn't donate it back looks like a big jerk.
Maybe
I really
you do.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? 50-50 raffle. You keep that money or you donate it back?
I mean, my Catholic guilt would get to me, so you got to give it back. Like, I couldn't walk home with that money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a charity.
I think your definition is right on. It's Anna's same guilt.
Absolutely. 100%.
Same guilt. Yep.
You want God to be nice to you. You have
Thanks,
to be nice.
Catholicism. Yep. Thanks. Thanks.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Just fill in the blank if you blank. That's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you decide that Mercury retrograde has destroyed your life, that's all I need to know about you.
I am feeling bad for you, but when was the injury? Was it?
So there's so many things, Raven.
Two nights
so many
ago,
things.
Or?
So I never really truly believed in Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I still do, but it seems hard to deny at this point that it's real and has destroyed my life.
I mean, you want to point to something to be upset with, right?
Yeah.
An object of your anger. So I get it.
Well, first of all, I've had 3 parking tickets in the last 7 days.
Well, that's your own fault. All right. Because everybody knows that you've stated here on the show that you do not pay parking tickets, that at this point in your life, you just roll the dice. And if they get you, they get you.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time they don't get you. So that is your fault.
3 times in 1 week seems like a lot.
But you're paying for the fact that you got away with it for all these other months prior.
All right. Whatever. That's Mercury retrograde, obviously, messing with me.
Clearly.
But, so, I tore my ACL in my right knee, and I'm really, really bummed out about it. And, like, it's not even an exciting story.
Yeah.
It's not like I was skiing, I was jumping out of a plane, or I was doing anything crazy, wacky. I was doing my workout class like I do 3 times a week, like every other day. I just jumped up, clicked my heels to go into a squat, and boom, I heard a pop, and I can't believe how now my life has to change.
Yeah, and listen, you push yourself hard, okay? And boot camp classes are difficult as it is already, but I know that you push harder than you should, and you're over 40 now. Just saying. Just saying, okay?
Well, anyway, I'm just saying this is all happening because of Mercury retrograde in the last week, and I have to go for the MRI today, and the only thing I could think about is like, well, thank goodness Mercury retrograde ended yesterday, so maybe there's a miracle. Also, if you tell your doctor that you're not listening to avoid bad news, that's all I need to know about you.
That's what you did.
So
that's very grown up.
You're going to love this, Raven.
Mm-hmm.
So she sits me down after she looks at the x-rays and she examines my knee yesterday, this very nice doctor. And it was the first time I'm meeting her and all that. And she looks at me and she goes, you know, most likely this is going to end in surgery and it's going to be like a long recovery. It's going to be like probably 6 to 9 months after we repair. And I'm nodding my head. I go, okay, I have a trip planned for Disney with my kids around Christmas time. And she's like, okay. I go, and I'm taking my daughter on a trip this Friday. And she goes, I don't want to sound rude. She goes, usually at this point, people are crying in here when I'm telling them that.
Things have changed a little bit, right.
And I go to her, I go, well, right, but I'm not really listening. So like, and she was like, okay. I go, you said we had to wait for the MRI. She's like, right.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Right. I'm like,
she's like, yeah. And then we will literally instantly know at that moment. Right. And I mean, the truth is with the ACL, she touches it, she grabs, she twists your leg. She knows.
Uh-huh.
It's just the confirmation of how bad and where everything is at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm just ignoring the whole thing and pretending it'll go away because I'm thinking in my head, listen, Mercury retrograde ended like a day ago. I'm good. This MRI is not till today. I'm like, I'm going to be golden at this point. I'll be fine. It's going to be a terrible mistake.
Yeah, that's. Sounds like denial,
No. It's all I need to know about you. Relax. I thought this was fake. Sometimes I think that the news just gets bored, so they make things up to sound exciting. And I was like, oh, it's Halloween time. This makes sense.
Yeah.
But then I found out there's a silent killer in your backyard, Raven.
It's a content machine, really, the news media. But what is it that you found out? What did you discover?
All over the news yesterday was zombie trees.
What?
This is prime season for zombie trees. What exactly are zombie trees?
A zombie tree, it's basically a tree that's already been dead. It's already dead, but doesn't know it yet.
Oh.
It's a tree that has, it's in a decline, and it has safety and health issues that are not visible to the untrained eye.
Uh-huh.
It's dead, but it doesn't know it.
Carl,
it's already dead,
Carl,
but doesn't know it yet.
Yep, doesn't know it yet. Doesn't know that it's dead yet.
I love this.
Yeah, and it gets worse, Raven. It gets worse about the zombie trees. Because what happens when you encounter a zombie tree?
Tell me.
it's something that you really have to pay attention to, because otherwise, you know, it could be a hazardous situation.
Yeah, it could attack you. It's a zombie tree. Well, that's what happens.
Thank you for stating the obvious, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Widowmakers, right? I mean, they're trees with limbs hanging over your heads. So they can drop and fall on you at any time. I mean, this happens.
I just want to know what goes through a zombie tree's mind when it doesn't know it's dead and is just looming in your backyard ominously.
It must feed. It must feed, as all other zombies must, Anna. Mm-hmm. It must feed at the end of the day.
And I was wondering, what do you do when you encounter this zombie tree? Like, Raven, mm-hmm. how do you terminate a zombie tree?
Well, you're definitely going to have to stab it in the brainstem.
Okay.
You're going to have to keep it at a safe distance. That way it can't bite you.
All right.
So you're going to need something stronger than the weed whacker or whatever. Get one of those Snow Joe collapsible or telescoping poles there mm-hmm. with the chainsaw at the end of it. I've got one of those things. Problem is that the cord never sticks in the end of it. So I wouldn't get the electric one. I'd get the gas one.
You mentioned the zombie tree biting you. If a zombie tree does bite you, what do you suggest you do in that situation?
Calamine lotion, all right. Shower immediately. Remove the branches and dead limbs and put them possibly in your fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that your pets and your spouse is safe.
And one more thing. If you wake up and there's a zombie tree in your bedroom and it's looming over your face.
Right.
Clearly looking, you know, to destroy you.
Right.
What do you do in that situation?
I mean, same thing. Revert to the fact that you're going to have to get to the brainstem one way or the other, okay. right? So I don't know which branch is in your bedroom,
yeah.
but if the entire tree is in your bed, you may want to just jump out the window.
Okay.
And then leave the area and then find a new safe zone, all right? Mm-hmm. And then erect walls and so forth around your new neighborhood where things are safe. That way the zombies, zombie trees, mm-hmm. and other intruders can't really get in.
You thought you were safe, but not in your backyard. The zombie trees are coming after you.
This is the best advice that I can give you.
Carl!
Oh, zombie trees. So sad, that story.
Have you ever let your parents set you up on a date with somebody? What happened? 1-800-330-9999. The tabloids obviously have taken their own direction on the whole Gabby Petito, Brian Laundrie news story. And I don't really give it much thought when I see those headlines. You know, it's tabloid garbage is what it is.
Well, when they're running out of facts, they got to make up something.
Right. You got to keep the interest on. Like, I get it. I don't understand how it works. But one of the headlines caught my eye yesterday, and it was saying that Brian Laundrie's mom didn't want him to be with Gabby Petito because she desperately wanted him to date one of her co-workers' kids or co-workers or something like that.
All right.
And I was just thinking about it and like throw that aside. And I was like, does anybody actually let their parents set them up on dates anymore? Like, I always felt like that was something in the past, but I have like that never really happened too much with my friends.
Yeah, I would think that the internet has blown that up now, right? I mean, if you're not meeting somebody at this point in your life, it's probably because you don't want to or you don't feel ready to in one shape or form or another, right? So, but that's the thing about parents is they don't listen.
Right.
And they don't care if your mom is on a mission to get you married or your dad thinks that you're not going to be happy until you find a nice girl or whatever. Sooner or later, people are going to have conversations. Like my grandfather-in-law, he can't keep his mouth shut about my kid. He can't do it.
Yeah.
He can't do it. He's talking to girls everywhere he goes. I think it's an excuse for him to flirt with these girls.
Weird.
But he does it all the time.
So I started like Googling and looking around. I'm like, does anybody actually like get their parents set them up on dates? Like not an arranged marriage, but it kind of is. It's like a modern day arranged marriage. And does it succeed? And I read that there's actually a lot of reasons why you should let your parents set you up.
Why is that?
Parents know you best. They want what's best for you genuinely. Right.
Do they know you best after 18 and you're out of the house, though?
I think my mom probably knows me better than anybody else.
But
I believe that.
But your mother's involved in your daily life, helping you with your kids. You manage your families together. All those things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a lot of closer contact than some people have. OK, continue.
Since they picked him, they're guaranteed to like your future husband. That takes a lot of pressure off. But best part, Raymond, you can totally blame them. It doesn't work out. If it doesn't work out, you're like, well, Ma, you picked him.
Yeah.
You made me go out with him.
I told you so. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Do you remember our coworker? I shouldn't say your name. That's not nice. But one of our coworkers was single, and her mom would constantly set her up on dates. And I used to think it was so strange.
Yeah.
But I remember one time she was here in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, oh, my gosh, I got to go. And I was like, oh, where are you going? Her mom had just gone to get her taxes done at like H&R Block or something like that.
Sure.
And the guy that had done her taxes, she walked in randomly, had her taxes done,
yeah.
and started talking to this guy about her daughter.
And then decided that he was going to marry her daughter.
Came back, called her, said, I'm coming to pick you up from work. I'm going to bring you over to meet him. And she went.
I mean,
isn't that wacky?
Can you imagine I mean, it's one thing that your parent is setting you up with somebody that they see and they interact with from time to time, but a random person they met right there that day, and then
did your taxes.
They pick you up and deliver you to them. It's like meeting somebody on a stage, except it's worse because it's your parents.
It didn't work out. He never called her after the first date.
I mean, because he was probably terrified of both of them.
He's like, lady, I just want to do your taxes.
He quit H&R the next day. He was like, I'm not going to be here next year when that mom returns. I just don't want to deal with it.
I can't believe how many of these studies and research says that you should 100% allow your parents to set you up on dates. It's interesting, right?
I think those are written by parents. That's what I think.
I mean, the biggest arguments is your parents know you best. They want what's best for you. Since they picked him out, obviously they're going to like the future husband. You can't be like, I changed my mind. Let's kick that guy to the curb.
Yeah, I mean, I guess your parents do know you at a certain depth, right? But sometimes you want to be shallow. Sometimes you want to go for the gold. There's a difference.
1-800-330-9999. Has your parents ever set you up on a date? What happened?
Okay, so my mother was working at a local police department, and some officer had a cruise that he needed a friend to go with, and I didn't even know this guy, and my mother said, oh, my daughter's been working so hard, she needs a vacation. So she bought the cruise for me to go with this random guy who needed a friend he ever met.
Oh, wait. My gosh.
Wow.
Like,
was he hot?
What? I mean,
I was not asking. Yeah, people need to know that.
Horrible.
Oh,
horrible.
Yeah,
oh,
no. I mean, I not for nothing, too. And this is going to sound crazy, but a cruise is the last place I'd want to be with a stranger. People fall off boats, man. Anna knows this is a theory of mine. People fall off boats. They get tossed off boats
all the time.
No.
Right. You should never go on a set up date on a boat.
No. Never, ever, ever.
It's the beginning of every horror movie.
Yes.
It was terrible.
So you went? Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe you went.
I listened to my mother.
I cannot even believe that.
I'm that generation.
Did you kiss him?
Right. How long was the cruise?
Oh, God, it's disgusting. No. It's 4 days.
Oh, that's painful. It's painful. It's like being in purgatory.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Your parents ever set you up?
Yeah, actually, almost. This guy, my mom works at a bakery. An old classmate of mine, after we graduated, started going there and was like a regular, like going there almost every day, buying scones and bread and wanting to, you know, ask about me. And my mom started asking me, like, why don't you see this guy? Like, why don't you hook up with them?
Mm.
I was like, no, mom. And honestly, it feels a little stalkerish that he just keeps going there and talking about me. Thankfully, my mom kind of clued into it. And she was like, yeah, something's not right with this guy. I definitely think he's only coming in to try and get me to set you up with him. So he got wise to it.
I see.
He kept acting like maybe there's a chance so that he would keep coming in as a customer.
I mean, that's just a good business model right there.
Right, right. I mean, do whatever you got to do.
Got to sell those cupcakes.
I've seen this before where somebody tries to work the parents to get to the kid. So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't somebody that had really, you know, made a move on you in high school, but decided after that this is going to be their way in?
I guess so. Like through my mom, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Anna and Raven, did your parents ever try and set you up?
Yeah. So in light of their recent divorce, I was 19 years old and my mom made it her mission to focus all of her attention on trying to find my forever after because hers was destroyed.
Oh, man.
So, she actually tried to set me up with her attorney's paralegal.
Whatever it takes to get those fees lowered.
Right.
You know, it was an all-encompassing situation. But like, I was depressed. My parents were getting divorced. You know, I was new in college that year. I had a lot going on. And then trying to dodge my mom's calls because she wanted me to hook up with her her attorney's paralegal was the icing on the cake for sure.
That's amazing. But, you know, it's all about what you're doing on a daily basis then, right? I mean, that's the only place your mom's going. That's where her focus is. So she sees this nice girl who answers the phone every time she calls and figures that's going to be her daughter-in-law.
Makes sense to me. You start dating somebody new, everything seems to be going fine, and then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, is this guy an adult or is he a child? How can you spot an immature man and stay far away from them? Dr. Patrick Juanes, he's a relationship expert. You can visit him online at patrickjuanes.com. I'm looking at this article you wrote, 14 traits of immature men who run from responsibility and accountability. And I feel like this should be like reading for anybody that's starting to date again.
Assigned reading, yes, right? Yeah. Wow, Doc. All right, 14 of them. Call on the shots. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, I actually created an assessment on that so that you can ask those questions and then be able to assess whether your partner is a mature or immature man. I say quite simply that maturity is determined or defined by responsibility and accountability. So responsibility is the role that you have or someone's given you, you've accepted, and accountability is the results you produce. So you can delegate responsibility, but you can't delegate accountability. The immature man runs from responsibility and accountability because he remains stuck in the mindset of a child. He believes that others are supposed to take care of him. He believes that he's helpless, dependent, and powerless over his life. So therefore, he says, it's your fault. In my 14 traits responsibility and accountability assessment, I'll just sort of list three or four. The first one is, does he act like he knows everything? When you're with someone who never can say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I don't know, you're with someone that acts like they know everything and they will never grow, they'll never evolve, they'll never learn. How often does he blame others and how often does he own his own actions? The next one that I think is really important is, when faced with feedback or criticism, does he welcome it or does he make excuses, become defensive, offensive, or belligerent? If I can just add one more, does he have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? Now, fixed mindset means I'm not going to take on any challenges. I react harshly to making mistakes because I believe if you point out to me that I've made a mistake, I am the mistake.
Doctor, I mean, I think I'm hearing you right. So we're going through this list. And again, these are just some of the highlights of your 14 traits of the immature man. But I mean, on my best days, I'm none of those things. And on my worst days, well, I might be a little of those things, a few of those things here and there. And I think plenty of us have been, man or woman. Is it enough to just say for us to be accepting and aware of the fact that we have been those things and that we're going to try and do better? Is it enough to do that to say that we're better than this list?
Well, what you've told me is two key points. One is you've said, listen, I recognize that sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm not. I'm willing to do better. Number two, to take this assessment properly, you have to think of a scale. When I ask the question, does he act like he knows everything? Is that never? Is that rarely? Is that neutral? Or is it usually? Or is it always? Does he often or usually act like he knows everything? Does he always act like he knows everything?
Always acts like he knows everything. Oh, no? Are you weren't asking me directly?
Who are you talking about?
Okay. All right.
Are you talking about your husband? You're talking about me.
I'm talking about you. Raven's got an answer to everything, even if he has no idea. He's got an answer.
Well, it doesn't mean that in my mind I'm convinced that I know it all. It just means that I'm going to tell them that.
Raven and Anna, here's one more for you. Since we defined the immature man, well, let's define the mature man. The mature man is open to ideas. He's open to suggestion. He's open to feedback. He admits and corrects any deficiencies. And unlike the immature man, the mature man is no longer a slave to praise or to fragile confidence because he finds strength in his vulnerability. It's okay to say, you know what? I screwed up. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to correct the mistake.
Dr. Patrick Juanes, if you want to visit his website, patrickjuanes.com. And I'm going to take this article to put it up on our Facebook page, too, at Anna and Raven.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday is all about small things you can do that make a big difference in your life. So if your breath is super nasty and people can't stand it, and every time you like get close to somebody, they back away slowly, good news. There's an easy solution that's already in your fridge. Here's the internet lady to explain it.
Cucumbers are good for more than your general well-being. They can also have an immediate positive effect if you have problems with bad breath, as they are a natural breath freshener. You just need to put a slice of this fruit on the roof of your mouth for 30 to 40 seconds. This will kill the bacteria that cause bad breath in your mouth.
We're going to put this to the test right now.
Or you could brush your teeth.
Well, besides that, sometimes brushing your teeth doesn't get it all out. So, Raven, come here. You have nasty breath because we've been drinking coffee and we are just general.
I actually had an everything bagel this morning, too.
Okay, come here. Let me smell your breath.
I did have coffee.
Come here. Come on, you have to move a little more quickly.
All right, Keith, okay. I didn't know this was going to happen. I hope I don't spit a poppy seed on you.
Oh, it smells real bad.
Come on.
Oh, it stinks.
Come on, is this that bad?
It smells like stale cigarettes. You told me you quit smoking.
I did have one cigarette today.
Raven!
Wow, you really could smell that, huh?
Of course I can.
Wow.
I'm so mad at you.
Busted.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
You sure you smelled that?
Yeah. Well, you think I just made that up?
All right.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. Now take the cucumber that you have sliced right in front of you.
Delicious.
Now what you have to do is you have to hold it on the roof of your mouth for 40 seconds. Now while Raven is putting this in his mouth and holding it on the roof, I'm setting the timer for 40 seconds right now.
Right here?
No, you can't eat it. You just have to suck on it and let it sit on the roof of your mouth.
Mm.
We've got about 31 seconds left. I'm going to tell you the other positive things about eating one cucumber a day. It cleanses your body from harmful toxins. It gives you more energy. It has vitamin C, K, and B. Vitamin B is really good for hangovers. So instead of having a bacon, egg, and cheese, apparently you can just have a cucumber for breakfast and then you'll feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Are you keeping it on the roof of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
It helps you lose weight. Each cucumber is only 16 to 20 calories. So you can eat like 100 of them. You're still good.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. That's 40 seconds right there. Okay. Come here. Let me smell your breath now. See if I can't believe I caught you out smoking cigarettes.
Oh.
That was unexpected today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Come here. Let me smell your breath. Oh, it definitely smells better.
Does it?
Yeah. No, 100%. It smells a lot better. So I guess that's good news.
I'm going to eat this whole tray of cucumber over here now.
You better do it to disguise the smoke, the cigarettes. I can't believe we're smoking cigarettes again.
All right. I feel bad about it already. I'm working on it.
This is how I had to catch you out?
Well, normally, you ain't got your nose in my mouth.
It's true.
Thankfully.
So if you missed it earlier this week, Raven and I had this conversation. On our text line, tiramisu is overrated.
Tiramisu. Right? Is it tiramisu?
It's tiramisu.
I mean, but isn't that how we say it here? We say tiramisu?
No.
We say it here?
No. Okay. It's tiramisu.
Well, I've never heard anybody say it that way before in my life, so just I'm just asking for that reason.
When you're young, tiramisu is yucky, but as you get older...
I mean, you're only saying it that way to prove that you can say it that way. Just say tiramisu. That's what everybody else says.
It's not true.
Nobody else says it the way you're saying it.
It's a conversation for another time. Good news.
The conversation is now.
It's
time is now.
It's another time. Yes.
Great.
Welcome, Raven, to your Italian tutorial. And I found this guy to tell you how to pronounce tiramisu.
Oh, perfect.
Buongiorno. We are looking at how to pronounce with a typical Italian pronunciation the name of this classic Italian dessert, tiramisu.
Oh, what did he say?
Is that Michelangelo? Who is that giving the lesson here? Is that the Italian Santa Claus? I mean, it's seriously, is that the ambassador of you know, most Italian language ever?
Tiramisu. Oh. The delicious tiramisu.
Yeah, you hear him? Hold on, wait.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I would order it if I was in Venice and had been practicing for 3 days.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, one more. Hold on.
Tiramisu is how the Italians would say it.
Sure.
If I asked a Irish waitress, at an Italian restaurant, anywhere, pretty much anywhere, maybe not in certain zip codes, but pretty much anywhere, she wouldn't even know what I was talking about if I tried to order it that way.
So we're going to have... Raven, an Italian tutorial. I have picked three of the most commonly mispronounced food items in the Italian language in America. Right. I'm going to hold it up. You're going to pronounce it, and then we're going to hear the correct way to pronounce it. Ready?
So you're going
to
hold up the word on a flashcard?
Yep. Ready?
Okay. Here we go. Oh, that's a hard one. Isn't it gnocchi?
Say it again.
Gnocchi? Gnocchi?
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Named for its shape, gnocchi comes from the Italian word gnocchio, meaning a knot in the wood.
Gnocchi.
I mean, I'm just going to order a knot in the wood next time that I'm in a store. That would be easier to say.
This one.
Oh, come on. I don't know what that is. Mascarpone? Mascarpone. Mascarpone.
Mascarpone.
Mascarpone.
Some suggest the word comes from either mascarpa or mascarpia, which means ricotta or cream in Lombard.
Mascarpone.
I just call it ricotta. That's what I call it. That's what, and I have some in my fridge right now because I had bolognese the other night.
Stop it.
You like that?
It hurts inside.
I can do that all day if you like that.
One last one. Ready? Please don't make me cry.
That one I can do. Bruschetta? Bruschetta?
Better.
Bruschetta. It's originally from the Italian word bruscare, which means to toast.
It's actually bruschetta, so I'm not sure why he did that.
Of course, the way you say it.
Well,
right.
You know, now you've learned, all right? Don't you feel better about this?
I just want a tiramisu.
Me too.
While I eat my bolognese.
Ugh. Gosh.
With some of that cheese stuff on
people
it. That's
dying
exactly
right
how
now.
I order it, actually. Ew. That's how I do it. They tend to bring me the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and you're going to decide who's right. Bobby and Tara. Bobby, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
I need some guidance here. Tara and I have been dating now for a couple of years. Early on in the relationship, there was some infidelity. I did cheat on her, and I came clean and I admitted it. And here we are years later. And now Tara not only has forgiven me, but she's now continuing to tell her family, her friends, any new friends, and anyone who will listen that I am a cheater. So it's not just forgive and forget. It's forgive and let's always keep it around.
Tara, you found out now that he cheated on you back then, or you known this whole time?
Oh, no, I've known this whole time. Like, I found out back then early on. You know, it was early on in our relationship when we were dating, and he confessed to me and I forgave him and we moved on. But, you know, I just think it's kind of, you know, it's part of my healing process is just, you know, talking about it and making sure that it's out in the open and that people know about it.
Are you guys engaged?
No. And it's kind of hard to, because if we had an engagement party, who would come? Everyone who thinks that I'm a cheater?
Well, I mean, I want to respect your healing process. Everybody's grieving and personal ways of dealing with situation is different. So, of course, Tara, I don't want to tell you how to feel. On the other hand, I mean, if you're Bobby, you got to feel kind of like you're in purgatory then. I mean, even though he did the right thing by telling you and there's been no problem since then, it sounds like, I mean, he's still got to stay in that. How long does that last? And then let's say you do get engaged. Now, you know, in those people's eyes, like he's a cheater. It changes the perception of your relationship and the way people feel about it. That's a difficult spot for both of you, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to find that out.
I'm sure it was hard for you to find that out. But at some point, don't you think if you're going to stay with him and you've picked to stay with him, that right, you have to let it go?
I don't know. When people are dating, too, I mean, is it cheating when you first start dating somebody? I mean, I suppose it is. He confessed, but
I'm just stuck playing a game where if I meet a new friend that she's made, then, you know, does this person already believe that I'm a cheater?
Right.
Is this person treating me like a normal human being? And then you can kind of tell by the kind of deadness in their eyes when they meet you for the first time, you know, kind of what's already been said.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Bobby. Tara, if you forgave him years ago, and obviously you're still together, then you have to let it go. Stop bringing it up. Stop telling people about it. But they may see your point, too, that part of your healing process and your acceptance process is being able to talk about it and being open about it. And, like, who is he to tell you how to feel and how to judge that?
Maybe talk to one person and then pack it away. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's really messy. And Bobby and Tara have been dating for a couple years. Early on in the relationship, Bobby had cheated on Tara, and he came clean and told Tara. She accepted it. She stayed with him, and they moved on. But there's a big problem. She always brings it up, not just to him, but to other people. And he's embarrassed by that.
Yeah, I mean, this happened over 2 years ago, and they've still been together at this point. Not only is she still bringing it up to people that they knew and people that are familiar with the story, but new people that come into their lives, people that they meet, new friends that they're trying to make. And he says, I'm prejudged before I even say hello to these people.
But Tara says it's all part of her healing process, and she's forgiven him, and that's really all that really matters. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on his side. I think that if she actually forgave him, this would have been done already. I think she's holding the grudge.
I definitely think so. And I think that she is never going to get over it. And I think that she's never actually going to forgive him.
Yeah, I mean, she says that she's doing it as part of her healing process, but it feels like she's punishing him. And she has the power at this point. She gets to control when it is, who it is that she talks to, when she brings it up. Like, he never knows when that's going to happen. It's like a rock falling from the sky on you.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Bobby and Tara have been dating for a couple years, and early on in the relationship, Bobby had cheated on Tara, had come completely clean, and Tara had decided they were going to stay together. Here's the problem. She brings it up, still, to this day. Not just to him, to basically family members, friends, and he's really upset about that.
Family members, friends, strangers, people they just met, too. He says, listen, I did my time. I told you about it. It was a different time. Ever since then, we're good. Why do you have to keep talking to people about this situation? They judge me.
She says it's her healing process is how she copes with it. And as long as she forgives him, then what's the big deal? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the side of, the women's, just because I find that I've been cheated on myself. And I kind of find that that kind of thing just kind of harms the relationship forever, really.
Which is why they should just break up. I mean, if she's going to walk around and tell people about it 2 years after, she hasn't truly forgiven him. Right. I disagree with you.
You never move on from that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and if you don't, then you need to just end it, right?
I agree. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on Bobby's side because I've been in that exact situation, and he should really choose. It's not everybody else's business. Especially if she's choosing to stay in the relationship with him. He came clean, and it's a new slate. If you can't forgive him, then she needs to let go. But he can heal, and she can heal on her own, too.
Did you eventually end up breaking up with the person?
I was married and found out on my one-year wedding anniversary that my husband gave birth to his first son and made my youngest a twin. So, yeah, I ended up leaving after because I couldn't deal with that. She needs to leave for her own self.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Oh, definitely his side. Because you can't have a real relationship unless there is a basis of trust. And if she chose to stay with him and to trust him, then she needs to move on from it. And if it's not something that she can do, then they shouldn't be together.
You know, the thing to me that strikes me is that when you first get together, when you're first dating somebody, Anna, people may not be on the same page as to how serious they are, right? So oftentimes when you first start dating somebody, it's messy. And then after on, you're left with trying to figure out what that meant. I don't know. I feel like yesterday's yesterday.
Yeah, but if you have a conversation and you say, like, we're exclusive, and then you do something like that,
that's
a different story.
Yeah, right. No, that's different.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bobby, our audience agreed with you. Tara, you have to let it go. If you believe that there's a future and you've decided that you want to stay with him, this is one of those things that you can't keep bringing up to everybody all the time. You have to let it go.
All right. I'll try and work on that then.
I mean, it sounds like, Tara, you've had this conversation with your close family and friends already. And if you want to talk with your friends about this, of course, you know, when you guys are isolated or whatever, that's fine. But continuously bringing up the conversation with people that don't know, that people that come into both of your lives now at this point, feels like punishment more than healing. So, I mean, sooner or later, if you tell a dog he's bad over and over and over again, that dog's going to feel bad or act bad, right? It's what, you know, people do. That's behavior.
No, I hear you. I think, you know, I've been bringing it up just so he's reminded, you know, how he hurt me and I need to let it go.
Or you need to see a therapist, which is nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that
no.
at all.
And just maybe like that's
frankly
the person you talk to and help you work through the feelings. And obviously it's always going to haunt you if you keep bringing it up 2 years later. You know, that's valid.
Bobby, you got to feel relieved.
I do. And I'm glad that that the folks were able to see the current, like you said, purgatory that I'm currently in.
All right, you have a problem too. Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Mike, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven is walking out of here. When that studio door closes, you can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring Raven back in. Ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven, though, okay?
Understood.
Okay, number 1. Selma Hayek said working on the most recent upcoming Marvel film with Angelina Jolie had been an amazing experience because she found her soul sister with Angelina. What is the name of the Marvel movie that the two actresses are currently co-starring in together?
Eternals.
Number 2. Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins and Linda Carter said that they plan on making Wonder Woman a 3-movie franchise and they're excited about the next and final Wonder Woman movie. Who currently plays Wonder Woman?
I don't know that one.
Number three, an original Grateful Dead t-shirt from 1967 was estimated to sell at auction for $367, but it sold for $17,640, making it the most expensive vintage rock shirt ever sold at auction. Who was the lead vocalist and guitarist for the Dead?
Jerry Garcia.
Ah, it took a long time, but I'm going to give it to you. Number four, Adele said her perfect last meal would be a Big Mac, nuggets, and fries from McDonald's. What is the primary color of Ronald McDonald's jumpsuit?
Yellow.
And number five, the newest casualty from the shortage world is books. But book retailers are saying that they've been anticipating this and they've been preparing for the holiday season, so hopefully there won't be a huge impact. The best-selling single book of all time is the Bible. But what wizardly book series is the most sold in history?
Harry Potter.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Not bad.
Yo!
Mike got 4 out of 5.
That's pretty good, Mike. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Salma Hayek said working on the recent Marvel film with Angelina Jolie was an amazing experience because she found her soul sister with Angelina.
I feel like Angelina Jolie is trying to have a coming back out party right now.
She's kind of been MIA for a while,
yeah,
right? And
now,
all of a sudden you see her in the news.
Now she's doing stuff.
What is the name of the Marvel film the two actresses are currently co-starring in together?
Eternals.
Yes. Number two, Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins and Linda Carter said at a recent DC fandom that they plan on making Wonder Woman a 3-movie franchise, and they're excited about the next and final Wonder Woman movie.
Hmm.
Who currently plays Wonder Woman?
My girlfriend, Gal Gadot.
She's not your girlfriend.
That's arguable.
But she is beautiful. Number three, an original Grateful Dead t-shirt from 1967 that was estimated to sell at auction for $367, sold for $17,640.
Dead fans are crazy.
Making it the most expensive vintage rock shirt ever sold at auction.
Wow.
Who was the lead vocalist and guitarist for the Dead?
Jerry Garcia.
Yes. Number four, Adele said her perfect last meal would be Big Mac, nuggets, and fries from McDonald's.
Respect, Adele.
What is the primary color of Ronald McDonald's jumpsuit?
It's yellow, isn't it?
Yes. And number five, the newest casualty from the shortage world is books. Ugh. Book retailers are saying they've been preparing, though, for the holiday season, so hopefully there won't be a huge impact.
How would they be preparing? Nobody buys them.
No, people buy books, Raven. Just because you don't read doesn't mean other people don't read.
I read. People just don't buy hardcover books.
Sure they do. The best-selling single book of all time is the Bible.
Okay.
But what wizardly book series is the most sold in history?
It's got to be Harry Potter.
Yes. I'm sorry, Mike. He beat you 5-4 this morning. That will get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. My name is Mike, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, Mike. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. Another $100 in the pot. $600 tomorrow, Anna.
Yeah, good luck to you. And you think that you can take him down? You can enter to play at annaandraven.com.